time is nearly 10 to 5, and we are really excited and ecstatic to have with us in studio Virgil Prince, a comedian from the Eastern Cape. I want to jump in right there. Why? What is it with the Eastern Cape? There's something in the water. You're the second comedian in 2 weeks who's from the Eastern Cape.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. May I ask who was the other one?
We had Loyiso Matinga.
Loyiso Matinga, yes. Can I tell you guys, the Eastern Cape, I feel, is really like a place rich in talent. Unfortunately, talent, a lot of the talent actually dies out in the Eastern Cape. It's the select few who happen to make it out and get to Johannesburg. And then, yes, you have to hear about us when we like, we make a noise when we
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it seems. Yeah, you have a show at Gold Reef City.
Yes, I do. I do. Let me share my flyer with you.
Very necessary for us to hear about what's unnecessary.
Yes.
That's the name of your show. Talk to us about unnecessary.
Nice. So the name of the show is Unnecessary. It's literally my take on the world, myself, South Africa, and just touching on the things from the little thing, like from the smallest things to obviously the biggest things, the things that we as a society consider to be unnecessary.
Like?
So it ranges all the way, like from the most basic level. I talk about, have you ever guys ever noticed when people go to stadiums to watch sports games and then they pray at the stadium, obviously for their team to win.
Yeah,
so I talk about that. Like how can someone on this side of the stadium be praying to God for their team to win, and then someone's on the other side of the stadium praying for their team to win. And I'm like, okay guys, now you guys are putting God in a predicament here.
A difficult place.
You're putting him in between a rock and a hard place. You are being unnecessary.
So it's about being extra and unnecessary.
Yes,
and just basic.
Extra, basic. Unnecessary. It ranges, so the entire show, as I said, it goes from the very smallest things of being unnecessary all the way to, of course, as you know, the state that we are in, South Africa, on the various levels, from race relations to politics to tax rates to e-tolls to unnecessary
so
things.
Prince, are there any of us, and I'm not including myself obviously, are there any of us South Africans that are actually necessary? It sounds like we're all being unnecessary to a greater or lesser extent.
Yeah, I suppose looking from like an outside world view, they probably like, yeah, the entire South Africa is unnecessary actually.
Yeah.
No, but we cool people, South Africans, we're amazing. In the show, I talk a lot about our diversity being diverse. So I say South Africa is so diverse that even our diversity is diverse, which is why I came to Chai FM or Chai FM today. Also just to chat to the Jewish listeners, because the show is of such a nature that I wouldn't want it to be only a singular demographic, because for the show to really be good and to really come to its fullest extent as it's supposed to be, fullest fruition as it's supposed to be, I do need like a diverse audience, because I'd like us all to be in a room. Like I've prepared this show now for the past 3 years, so I've done it all over South Africa, from Durban to Cape Town to the National Arts Festival, Bloemfontein, Pretoria. I didn't do it in Johannesburg. I decided to do the grand finale at Johannesburg at the Lyric Theatre, recorded for television. So it's matured over 3 years. So I've really had a good time to think about everything I want to say, how I want to say it, in what order I want to say it. So I really need like a diverse audience to be there. And I really feel like if we get that kind of audience in, as South Africans, we're really going to have a good laugh. We're going to debunk some of the unnecessary. We're going to start realizing what is necessary. And we can also realize that what we can change to make things nicer going forward. Comedy shows tend to help. Mm. I find nowadays politicians don't help, but comedians sure are doing a job.
What a wonderful message during, as you say, Prince, at a time when the messages from politicians leading up to all the election madness.
Yes, I was listening a while back.
Exclusive. Or exclusion, the politics of exclusion, of only focusing on certain demographics. It's so nice to know that everyone is necessary to become unnecessary together.
Yes.
Do you find South Africans funny? Are we a good source of material for you?
We definitely are. We definitely are, ranging from a little child in South Africa all the way to your grandmother. Like I don't know everyone's grandmothers in the room, but I can almost guarantee that they are super hilarious, right? So South Africans are super funny. Here's an interesting fact. Like recently Netflix did a show called Comedians of the World.
Yeah.
At which they went to all the different countries in the world, from Australia, the UK, America, South Africa, and they chose about four comedians from each country to do half an hour of comedy. In South Africa, we had Loiso Madinga. You guys had him here That's previously. Right. Loiso Gola was on there. Tumi Morake was on there. Riyad Musa was on there. And I can honestly tell you, I've watched those specials, and I can honestly say I've also read some of the reviews, and the South African comedians ranked very, very highly amongst the world. I think Loiso Gola was the highest, coming in at like number 4 or number 5.
I can't believe that. You need to tell Simon and his unnecessary opinions that when it comes to creative output, we can stand toe-to-toe with the best in the world.
We definitely
best
do.
Best house music, comedy.
I think my take on it is that we're really brave. We go to places yes. that other people are too, like in Australia, it would be way too politically incorrect to like make racial jokes or
yes.
Cape colored jokes or yes. Jewish jokes or, and somehow in South Africa, we like over that. We can laugh at each other.
Yes.
I don't know where the line is because I know I've heard some jokes that make me feel incredibly uncomfortable.
Look, I would say there is a, there's no line as to what we can say, but there is a line between a good comedian that you should buy a ticket and go and watch at the Lyric Theater and a bad comedian who doesn't know how to address certain issues, you know. So I think you can laugh about almost everything in South Africa, but if you can't do it right, it's a problem. You're being unnecessary.
Virgil, we're going to stop there because we're going to take a music break, but I'm going to ask you to hang around because we want to talk to you after
yes,
five.
Yes, I'm here. Thanks.
Our in-studio guest actually did tweet us because he's obviously hip and he can understand 21st century technology. You can follow him, actually. Can I give you a free punt? Build up
yes,
that follow.
Yes, please.
You can follow him at Prince, P-R-I-N-S, _VR.
Yes, sir.
The artist currently known as Prince. Was that part of the consideration?
So what I do is, I know the artist formerly known as Prince, so I'm the comedian formerly and informally known as Prince.
I see. It's a pun.
I put a little bit of flavor.
It's a homophone on the word formally. You get it? That's so deep. Wow. Okay. It's an English lesson and a joke all in one. It's amazing.
Yes, he's pumping today. Hey?
And I'm the one laughing. I thought I was the comedian.
He's pumping today. Absolutely. And I was listening to the news that Sasha was talking earlier, and she spoke about the weather in East London. We had a presenter who helped us out last week, and he just skipped East London. He just felt what's the point? Nobody's there.
Us.
Nobody goes there. So, how do you feel about that?
Sometimes they'll even skip the whole Eastern Cape, but at least they're doing East London. They'll do Port Elizabeth. Mm. After Port Elizabeth, East London's the second biggest city, but no one actually cares other than Port Elizabeth.
So where's home for you? Like Eastern Cape won't do it.
Yes,
where's home?
I'm East London. I did my studies in a town called Grahamstown.
No, we all know Grahamstown.
It's being renamed now, though.
Yeah.
It's Makanda.
Makanda
forever.
So Makanda forever. Also known to the people who actually live there as Irini.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I do know it's got no water.
It never has water. And the weirdest thing is whenever you go there for the festival, they always act like the no water is only happening at that point. Like, it's just a crisis. I'm like, no, but you never have water.
Yeah, it's just because there's so many people.
Yeah, and the town is so tiny. Mm. Tiny town, a lot of people.
Never runs out of alcohol, though. Funny.
That's the crazy part. I think that's where the water's
funny
going.
You mentioned that. I want to say, do you remember anything about your studies at Rhodes? Because from what I hear, back at the ranch.
Yes. It's intense. I remember when I went to university in my year, they said that Rhodes University was ranked in the top 2 universities in the world for per capita alcohol consumption.
Yeah,
top
that's
2.
Right. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So who's number 1? You must be gunning for them.
I wonder who number 1 is. Probably a university somewhere in Australia or something.
Somewhere where it's also cold.
Yeah, and tiny and nothing else to do. And then that's what ends up. In Grahamstown, like a mode of transportation is still donkeys. Like donkeys that still ride up and down the streets. When the tourists get there, it's like, oh my goodness, such cute donkeys. I'm like, no, people actually travel with those donkeys. Mm. They have traffic jams. Officers arrive there with carrots and alert.
It's very hectic, that city. It really is hectic. I went there for the festival probably about 2 years ago, and I stayed in this beautiful old place, this old house in the middle of Grahamstown, colonial, beautiful. I woke up in the middle of the night. It was very near the taxi rank. It's that side, the pet store side of Grahamstown.
I definitely understand what you're saying.
And like, there were like 15 people peeing against the wall.
Oh, no.
And it just became like so unbelievably real for me. Like here I was in this colonial little enclave being peed on.
Yes.
And it was just like absolutely amazing. Like,
very small town, colonial vintage vibes.
Yeah.
I remember the house that we rented like 2 years ago. We were also at the festival, rented out a house, and the house that had like the old pictures of the Victorian ladies in their outfits and garments. They had a couple of weapons on the wall too. So they had a couple of, are they called the Henry rifles?
The frontier,
traditional weapons.
Yes. And a couple of spears and so forth. I was like, wow, it's a museum of sorts.
Mm.
If you think about it. But yeah, very nice.
Virgil, I want you to talk to me about audiences.
Yes, sir.
How do you find them? So are you getting them? Are people playing ball? Are they attending shows?
Yes, they're cool. Look, I suppose in South Africa, here's what happens. So two answers to the question. Firstly, South African audiences love comedy. Like when they actually at the show. So if you manage to somehow get them to the show, I find like getting South Africans to the show is probably the hardest part. In Johannesburg is a bit better, but like if I do a show in the Eastern Cape, for instance, or in any other smaller town, very difficult. I think people are very, conservative with their disposable income, it would seem, right? But in Johannesburg, I notice people are a bit more freely in their spending, but there's so many options of things to spend your money on, not even comedy shows. You can go to rock concerts, you can go to Casper your vest and fill up the dome. Wow. There's a lot of things you can do. But I do find that as South Africans, once we actually make it to the show and once we're sitting there, we are very good. International comedians who come to South Africa from the UK, I know recently an Irish guy came out, a strong Irish accent, but even international acts, when they come here, they say, wow, you guys' audiences are amazing. They actually laugh out loud. Like
interesting.
A lot of times, like where I come from, people give a smile, they might give an applause, but they're not out there jumping up, picking up chairs, shouting, you're amazing! You know, when we love something, we go wild.
You show it.
Yeah, so our audiences are amazing if you can get them.
So let me tell you why I asked you that question, because I went to see Mark Lottering's show, which moved from Cape Town to Joburg not so long ago. Bloody fantastic.
You loved it.
Absolutely. How could you not know? Dark or Madung. I mean, it was just brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. But it closed. It closed early and it was truly, truly good. And I just thought this deserves to be supported, deserves to be watched. And it's just not getting the audiences.
So that show it wasn't stand up comedy. It's more like a sketchy,
musical type
of comedy. Yes. And he did it for a long time as well. How long did he run it for?
No, I think he intended to come here for like a month.
Okay.
I think it closed pretty soon.
Like 2 weeks
opening.
Or so.
Yes.
It is tough to get people to come out to the, let me say this. It's tough to get people to come out to the right show. So people oftentimes go out and they'll go home disappointed, like, oh man, I can't believe we went out. That show wasn't that great. Like as South Africans, I want to encourage us, go to the right shows. A lot of shows are unnecessary. My show is called unnecessary, but it is very necessary.
Quite clever. So do you feel enormous pressure to be funny all the time?
No, I don't. Actually, let me be honest. Whenever I come to radio interviews, it's the most nervous I ever get. Because
really?
My biggest fear is always that the host is going to say, so Prince, you're a comedian, tell us a joke. And I'm sitting there like, oh no, not like that.
But comedians have complained about that, Prince. You wouldn't go up to a professional chef and go, I'm hungry, make me a sandwich.
Yes,
you know what
while
I mean?
He's at home.
While he's at home.
Yeah.
Chefs in particular, we know them to be quite intense, violent people, that when they're off, they're off, you know?
Yeah.
You wouldn't come to me and say, oh, Paul, can you, I don't know, do a little free bit of analysis? I want to know about the elections.
No, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
And
right.
I guess it's because a lot of it has to do with the way stand-up comedy has changed in its own rise. Back in the day, stand-up comedy was joke-telling. So you had a joke with a setup and a punchline, and you could tell it anywhere, anytime, at a fireplace, at a party. But stand-up comedy nowadays, it has a narrative, it has a story, it has context.
Callbacks.
It has callbacks. So if you take it out of context and you just like, tell me the joke, and I just right here tell you a joke, it could be a horrible experience,
It's more sophisticated and layered.
Yes.
You might have something, a certain gimmick or shtick that you're going to work in four or five times, and it must get bigger laughs every time.
And it requires visuals. It requires me to be on stage, expressing, moving, flowing.
Do you do a lot of like ad libs if people throw in comments in the middle?
I have been told that my improv is very good. My improvisation. To mention that we were here previously at Chai FM.
He's got it.
I was at Chai FM previously with Claudine Ullman and the Chitri Citizens. We are promoting that show. That is an improv comedy show. So a lot of the improv flows over into my stand-up comedy, and a lot of people have said, like, oh Prince, when you're on stage and someone says something or something happens in the room, your responsiveness is quite great, and we love that. So yeah, I've got.
Do you ever just have a night where you have like just there's just nothing there, like somebody throws a comment out and you just like, what do I do with that?
I would say preparation is key. Preparation is key. So if someone does throw a comment out, and you don't have anything to say back to them, then just move on gracefully and eloquently. So don't look stunned like, oh my goodness, I was trying to say something, but I couldn't. Move on gracefully, eloquently. However, if there is something there, by all means, give a quick snap back, have a good laugh, and then move on. The thing with a one-man show, because it's such a, it's such a crafted show. It's not a club gig. It's not a gig at a restaurant. It's not a gig at a bar. It's a very crafted show. So there's not much opportunity for audience members to just shout out crazy things at all times.
Really?
But if it does happen, we do deal with it.
How do you handle hecklers? That was my question.
It depends on my mood. It depends on my mood and where we are. So I can make it very nice and just bring the heckler on board. Be like, okay, you want to be part of the show? Come on board. Let's make the people laugh together. That's nice. Other times, depending on my mood, we could just, me and the audience together, we decide, let's turn on the heckler and let them be quiet for the next 2 hours. So we can do that. Other times, there has been nights where I've been like, oh, not tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, not tonight. I'm going to let this one slide, heckler. Just be cool. So sometimes it wouldn't be a funny or even a joke. It would just be a serious matter to be like, okay, good sir, I know you've had a couple of drinks, but remember, you are at a comedy show, so just
you don't
keep
get
it
to talk at home. Your wife doesn't look like you. She let you get words.
So various approaches. I tend to play it in the moment.
Tell me something. We've got about a minute left. Just give yourself a punt here. Tell us about the show, how we can follow you, where we can buy tickets, the whole shtick.
It's one night only.
One night only. So the Lyric Theatre has 1,100 seats, ladies and gentlemen. So I really need you all to pull through to that one.
Hashtag fill up Lyric.
Fill up the Lyric for Prince. As I said previously, I want South Africans, not even South Africans, Africans, people of all walks of life come through. So Jewish folk, if you are out there, do come through and join in on the show. You will definitely learn a lot from it. It's at the Lyric Theatre on the 30th of May. The show's called Unnecessary, but it is very necessary. Tickets are at CompuTicket. This is Prince. You've seen him on Nationwide or Trevor Noah. You've seen him on Comedy Central. You've seen him on Showmax. He's performed in Switzerland, South Korea, Swaziland, Botswana, Namibia, and now he's doing his one-man show, recording it for television. So you'll see it on television later, but rather be at the show live.
That sounds exciting. I want to tell you one quick joke that I just read
on
Twitter.
Yes, I'll take your joke.
Jonathan Kaplan, he tweets, just learned that a dentist a block away from here was arrested for selling drugs. Shows how wrong you can be about people. I've been going to him for over 10 years and I never knew he was a dentist.
Nice one.
Okay, that's a great point to leave it. Good luck with your show. It's a hell of a big venue to fill. I'm very respectful of the challenge that you are taking.
It's a big task, but if everyone comes out, it's going to be a beautiful thing to behold. I'd like to go, my last closing statement to go on record and saying is, everyone comes out on the night, this will be the biggest one-man comedy special since Trevor Noah's Daywalker.
Let's make it happen.
There you go. Time is 17 minutes past 5. A little bit late for traffic, but here it comes.